Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you are an author listening to today's interview and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a very exciting author with me. She is Laura Simmons. Laura grew up in Northern Virginia and spent most of her career working for various Department of Defense contractors in the Washington, D.C. area. She's written two stories, Little Bits of Karma and Tough Karma, A Race Against Time. She has a fascination with all things metaphysical. She enjoys soap making, writing, jigsaw puzzles, bowling, vacationing at the beach with her husband, and studying tarot cards and other types of divination systems. And after taking a look at her books, I knew that we had to talk. So welcome to the network, Laura.
Well, thank you.
It's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to this because many years ago, I spent some time with meditation CDs working on past life regressions. So I'm very interested to learn more from you. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, if you don't mind, would you just share a bit of you and how you became interested in writing?
Well, I've wanted to write a book ever since I was a little girl. Probably from the first grade on, I would write, like, when we went on little family vacations, I would write little stories about it. And I didn't really keep a journal. I just liked to write little fun stories growing up. And I can remember saying I wanted to write a book when I grew up. But of course, you know, as you get older and you go through the changes of life, you know, that just kind of fell away and I forgot about it. You know, my teen years, I didn't really think about it that much. It was like, oh, maybe that would be a someday thing. But, you know, as years go by, every now and then I would start to write a story or a novel for whatever idea I had in my head, but I'd never finish it. And then I started reading, you know, I have always had an avid interest in reincarnation and psychic phenomena and what happens to us after we die. I mean, that stuff has fascinated me most of my adult life. And I would read everything I could on it. I've read so many different books on reincarnations and people's experiences, and it just fascinated me. And so I kind of got the idea to write a book about a woman who is having, she's middle-aged, she's in her 40s, and she's having issues with her long-term significant other, and she's been married twice before, and she's going through all sorts of changes and having problems with her man, and she's thinking about her life and wondering, oh my God, you know, what has happened, you know? Did I bring this on myself somehow? And she goes to visit a psychic medium, and the psychic tells her a little bit about her past lives, and then she goes on a quest to discover, you know, who she was, the different types of lives she lived, and the people in her current life would show up in her past life regressions, although they looked different and spoke differently. She knew in her soul who they were, and that's something that in all the reincarnation books I've read, when people have these regressions, they know who that person is in their past life as they're viewing it or seeing it or reliving it. They know who that person is in their current life, which I think is really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took the idea and ran with it. And because she's having all of these problems with her long-term significant other, she developed a crush on a man at work who, you know, then you get the romantic triangle and the back and forth, and it's just kind of a fun story, I think.
The main character is Holly O'Rourke. You mentioned that she learns of her past lives by visiting a psychic medium and then later experiences that through those past life regression hypnosis.
Right.
Yeah, that was interesting. So the medium actually told her about her past life. What's the difference between that and, say, doing a guided meditation and finding that out by yourself?
I have attempted or tried guided meditations for different things, but unfortunately, I can't lay still long enough or concentrate enough. My mind wanders too much to fully get into it. And I'm kind of impatient, and I want it to happen. If it doesn't happen right away, I kind of give up on it. So I can't really say, other than I would read people's accounts of guided meditations. And it's just kind of hard to describe because everybody has a different experience with it. But no, the psychic gave her little snippets of, you know, her past lives, and mm-hmm. and she was shocked because her past lives were nothing what she thought she would be, you know, like you're a princess or a famous person, or, you know, you did all these wonderful humanitarian deeds. Quite the opposite. So
it's like, who is this person?
Exactly. So after she had the visit with the medium, she was inspired to learn to do this. And I think it's something you have to want to do badly enough to be able to do it. I guess I'm fascinated by all of these things, but I never wanted to do it bad enough to actually take the time to go back and find out.
No, I get that. It was very difficult when I did that because I, like you, I'm a very impatient person. And
right.
Yeah, so I don't know if I was making things up or if this was really, you know, if I was really pulling something from another realm. I don't know. Now, is there a bit of Holly O'Rourke in you or you and Holly?
Well, some of her previous relationships with men sort of relate to me, not directly, but I took experiences, some of my past experiences. I'm very happily married, by the way, so, you know, and I have been for almost 20 years, so, you know, it's nothing like that. It's just I took some past relationships in my younger years, and, you know, you take liberties with them, and you add things to spice them up, and then I think of, you know, my friends, some of the things they've gone through. Mm-hmm. So all of this is good fodder for Holly's character. I guess I would say Holly has some similarities to me because she has an interest in all of these things, which I do as
right.
well.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That was your first book, Little Bits of Karma, correct?
Right.
All right, now then your following book was called Tough Karma, A Race Against Time. Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, that story, as I was finishing up Little Bits of Karma and putting the finishing touches on it, I had two of the minor characters in that book kind of started to jump out at me. This is getting off the subject a little bit, but I kind of have to feel things to get them down on paper. I have to sort of feel the characters' motivations and their personalities, and I can write about it. I have to have an idea in mind. But there are two characters in the in Little Bits of Karma, Bryce and Amber, and they're troublesome, but not exactly nice people. But they're not totally bad. Mm-hmm. So Tough Karma is their story. And sort of where sort of their past is haunting them in an indirect way. And the main character of the story, Bryce, is sort of a badass. But he starts to soften, and he's been in love with his cousin all of his life, but who is Amber, but he's never, you know, pursued it, of course, because he thought they were blood relations. But in this book, Tough Karma, he comes to find out that they aren't related. They find out they aren't related, and then a romance blossoms from there. But it blossoms because, well, of course, he's always loved her, but he helps her through a tragedy. And she loses her baby, and she loses her husband, and she's a total mess. He has certain psychic abilities he's never told anybody about. He can astral travel. He's a rather experienced astral traveler, and she is a sleepwalker.
Okay.
And so between the two of them, all kinds of strange things start happening. Because he has a good friend named Mike who has always had a crush on Amber. And Mike has always been a skinny, geeky type of guy. And Amber used to work with him when she was a part-time waitress at the restaurant. But, you know, after Amber's tragedies happen and, you know, Bryce kind of comes in and takes over to provide solace and a place for her, he lets her stay with him because he's afraid she's going to kill herself because she's in so much grief. This Mike guy comes over to visit, and he and Amber can tell there's something not quite right about him. She used to work with him and used to think he was a nice guy, but now it's like something rubs her the wrong way. He seems, I don't know, scary. And so after their visit, she starts when she sleepwalks, she draws pictures of him torturing her.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Bryce becomes very disturbed about this, and so he uses his astral travel abilities to go investigate Mike.
Oh, my.
And he uncovers a deadly secret.
Of course.
Mike ends up abducting Amber because he's a lunatic, a very smart psycho lunatic. And he abducts her, and Bryce has to use his astral abilities to locate her and rescue her.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much going on. This is very rich. We've got romance and paranormal and astral travel and reincarnation. I mean, you've got a lot going on there.
Yeah, the second book has a little bit of everything in it. It's not, the first book is heavy on reincarnation. The second book has pretty much a little bit of everything. It's got astral travel, sleepwalking, and lucid dreams. It's got a character who's telekinetic and can move objects with her mind, as well as travel the astral realm. It's got sort of these big bad dudes in it who aren't really that bad, but, you know, there's like, oh, my God, you know, as they start to become better people, they see mistakes they've made. It's like, oh, kind of, you know, I guess I asked for it type of thing.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think this one is this one's more suspenseful. At least the reviews I've gotten from the people who've read it so far, they loved it, you know, because they like that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinated with the astral travel and, of course, the suspense element of her being abducted and him having to go find her. And, yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but it's sort of a paranormal suspense romance.
All right, no spoiler here.
No, I'm spoilers. Not going to give too many spoilers. I pretty much kind of summarized with that.
Oh, my gosh, I love this. And you're currently working on a third story to add to this, which you, I guess, unofficially called the Karma series. Can you give us a sneak peek?
Yeah, I did. I called it the Karma series. I hadn't really thought of writing a third book. I thought after Tough Karma, well, as I was writing Tough Karma, that I would want to continue writing because I enjoy doing it. But there are some... There is a new character in Tough Karma who comes in halfway through the book, and I didn't intend to write the next book about her, but she became so interesting to me that I had to give her her own story. And, of course, the characters in Tough Karma, Race Against Time, they will also be in the next book, but the character of Nina and Bryce's brother Luke are going to take center stage. They're going to have a devil of a time, although I haven't figured out the exact plot yet. I'm having a real hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been bugging me because I kind of know what I want to write, but I'm getting lost in the weeds with the particulars, and I'm hoping it'll eventually reveal itself because I want to write it, but I just can't wrap my head around the plot just yet.
You know, sometimes that happens, and one of the great things to do is just don't think about it. You know, just get out there and do something else, and when you're not thinking about it, it comes to you.
I know, it does, and I guess I expected it to jump out at me because I was starting to write Tough Karma before I even finished Little Bits of Karma. I mean, I was having all these brainstorms and these strong feelings, and I haven't quite got that with this one, so I'm thinking, oh, God, I guess it's maybe a writer's fear, a new writer's fear. Like, I'm never going to have another good creative idea again.
No.
I've already done my best, and there's nothing left. What if I never have another, what if I don't get inspired again? That kind of thing kind of haunts me.
Oh, my gosh, I doubt that. It's in there. If you're thinking about it and feeling it, it's there. It just needs to brew. It's not ready to come out yet.
Exactly. I'm waiting for my aha moment.
There you go.
And I've read other writers talk about sometimes just write and it will come to you. And I believe that to a certain extent. I mean, that kind of happened when I was writing Tough Karma. I would reach some tough spots and I would have to just leave holes and then go on to maybe near towards the end of the book to write that part and then come back and write some things in the middle. But some things they just take time to brew. I'm being kind of naturally kind of impatient. I want it now.
Yep.
I want to know now what I'm going to write.
Well, see, this is the lesson you are supposed to be learning from writing, perhaps.
So.
You know, we got to look at it that way. I was going to ask you what you want your readers to learn or take away from your stories, but before we go there, I think this is kind of obvious that you're supposed to be learning something as well.
I agree with you, and I've never thought about it that way until you just said Well, I mean, I do believe we're all here to learn certain things,
yes.
And I, through my own experiences in life, I really believe that to be true. So I've changed a lot over the years. I'm a lot less judgmental than I used to be.
No, I get that. You sound very similar to myself. The good thing is that we do learn. Some people never do, and they just stay stuck in that place. So
I know.
We need to applaud ourselves for that. All right, so let me now ask that question. What is it, as you're writing this, what is it that you want your readers to learn or take away?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, it was pure pleasure for me to write this, and I enjoy it, and there's a thrill I get for writing the story. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't enjoy it. And I just would like for people to take away, just maybe to open their minds a little bit and think there's something else besides just the here and now. And all of the problems and the trials that you face during your life, try to look for silver lining. You know, I mean, people have, you know, everybody experiences life differently, and some people's experiences are truly horrific, but is maybe they can open up their minds and think, is there something I'm supposed to learn from this, mm-hmm. gain from this? They say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I believe that. Mm-hmm. So it just maybe have people open up their minds and think, ponder, their everyday deeds and how something they do mindlessly might affect someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk maybe just for a quick moment here about reincarnation and past lives. What are your thoughts on that? What have you come away with? Because obviously you've thought about it and you've done research on it. Maybe share your thoughts.
I believe that every single one of us has lived, I don't know, maybe 100 lives or more, and that we've always existed. Like people say, God has always been here. I think we have always been here as well. And we are coming down here because want to, and we're here to learn things. And I think probably from the first lives that we ever had, we came down and maybe we made a mess of things or hurt other people. And I think we are motivated to keep coming back because we're trying to right things that maybe we did wrong.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you ever reach a point, because sometimes you meet people that just seem so highly evolved, and sometimes I think to myself, okay, this person is probably on their last trip here and just wrapping up their loose ends. Do you think that?
I do, and I also think that maybe they didn't have to come back. Maybe they chose to come back to lead others.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can, guide others to the light, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just heavenly teachers that, right, I mean, they didn't have to come back, but maybe they wanted to help certain individuals.
Mm-hmm. Such an interesting topic. I just lost my mom several months ago, and yeah, I'm starting to revisit all of this thinking, all right, is she back? Is she coming back? And will I see her again? And so I think we all have those questions, especially when somebody passes away that's close to
right.
us, even a pet.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I believe that pets come back too. Maybe not in the same form, but
mm-hmm.
I think animals have a soul, and I imagine they come back. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Exactly.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Oh, such a topic. It's very fascinating, isn't it?
It is, and it's my favorite thing to read about these mm-hmm. types of things.
Let's talk about your covers. I thought those were interesting. Let's share where those came from.
Okay. The covers, well, Outskirts Press, I'll put in a plug for them. They're kind of pricey, but, I mean, if you saved your money, and they have budget plans, too, they can help you get your book out there as a self-publisher. And I wanted that kind of help because, kind of impatient. I want some help. I don't know what to do. I've written a story. What do I do with it? And they can kind of guide you along how to get it published. And, of course, you think, what in the world do I want on my cover? Well, while I was writing Little Bits of Karma, I just sort of had images in my head of a beach and with maybe tarot cards on the beach. I didn't know how that would look. I sort of did a little PowerPoint thing with cut and paste pictures just to get an idea. And I kind of wanted something like that. I wanted sort of a divination or a mystical feel on it, but also something, with a picture of the beach on the front. And so when Outskirts Press sent me the form that says, okay, what are your cover ideas? I gave them a little bit of the story and sort of my ideas for the cover, but I didn't really know what it would look like. So when I saw the cover, I was blown away. They sent it to me. They sent me two options. One was what I had envisioned and one was what, their artist had envisioned. And it was, there was no contest. I looked at it, I was like, that's it. It was just so beautifully done. I was awestruck. I think I probably would stare at it in my lunch breaks at work. I'd be, oh, my God, I can't believe this is my cover. It looks so good. I just love the cover. It was like, there's my idea, but it's even better than what I had in my head.
How perfect was that?
Yeah, I loved it. And even the title, Little Bits of Karma, I had a different title when I wrote my first draft. Mm-hmm. I called it Finding Soulmates. And a friend of mine said, I don't like that title. It's not poetic enough. And I'm thinking, poetic? Titles have to be poetic?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, okay, well, then I scratched the first draft because it needed lots and lots of improvement, and I'd never written anything before. And so as I was writing the book, there's a phrase in the book where Holly says to herself, oh my God, all these little bits of karma are coming back to haunt me. And little bits of karma, that's it, that's it, that's the title. And for the second one, the title in my head was not very good when I started writing it, because I wasn't sure what I was going to call it. I just called it All Kinds of Wrong. I didn't really like the title, but I was discussing it again with a friend, and he thought I should use the word karma in the title, and I couldn't think of anything. Mm-hmm. And so I told him a little bit about the story I had in mind, and he's like, and he sent me, he says, what about this? I was like, that's wonderful. And I just took it.
I just took it.
I'll keep that title, Tough Karma, A Race Against Time, unless something else pops out at me as I'm writing. And nothing else did, because the title is the story. It really does tell the story. And the cover design just came to me probably sometime back in the fall. I had several ideas for the cover, but I kept getting a strong feeling for a burning fire in the background, like a burning house, a clock overlaying, you know, the fire, and then a man holding a woman in his arm, mm-hmm. who's apparently unconscious or dead, mm-hmm. you know. And I kind of had that idea, and again, it was no contest, you know. When they sent me that, I was like, oh my God,
gosh,
that's
better than
my little PowerPoint attempts to make my cover idea.
Well, at least you gave them that food for thought, and that,
right.
obviously that's their job to put that together. And I love that bright orange color. It really does stand out.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love the cover. Mm-hmm. And they did send me another cover that I liked just as well, but it didn't pop like the fire.
Mm-hmm.
The alternate cover were cars whizzing along a highway, which is appropriate to the story as well, but didn't pop out like the fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. I think you did a wonderful job. Those covers are awesome.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's dig a little bit into your writing process, if we may.
Sure.
So tell us when and where do you write and how often?
Well, typically I write at home in the evenings when the thoughts are running through my head. You know, and sometimes on a lunch break at work, I might jot down, you know, ideas and email them to myself. But typically I write in the evening as things come to me. I have my laptop at the ready next to the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
So I can grab it and start typing when things, you know, run through my head.
Right, right.
But I it's hard to write unless I feel something. Sometimes if I really want to write, but I'm not having anything new come through, I'll go back and read over what I've already written. And sometimes things start to come out from that. It's like, yeah, why did I put that phrase in there? That sounds stupid. Things that I thought were great when I wrote them at the time, I'm going back like, oh, no, that's not right. And you know, I could write the thing forever and constantly change it, but I know at some point, I mean, I know when it's done. You know, when you're just so tired of reading it 100 times, you're like, it's done.
Thank you for saying that, because I was just going to ask you that. Every time you go back and reread it, you could make a little change, and this could go into perpetuity. So how did you know you were done?
It was like I couldn't think of anything else interesting to add.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, I really can't put any more into the story, so this is it. Granted, I would like for it to have been a little bit longer, but it's like, no, I want to tell the story the right way. I don't want to add stuff in there that doesn't have any relevance to it. And I think, I mean, Little Bits of Karma was my first book, and I have refrained from going back and reading it because I know if I do, I'm going to go, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
I would write it differently now.
Yeah. There is a point when you need to know when to stop. You can't make it long just to be longer. There's a point that it's done.
Yeah, you want the story to be, okay, that's good. It was just right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe in Little Bits of Karma, not to down my own book, but it was my debut novel. And I've learned things, you know, obviously from the feedback and the reviews I've gotten is like, yeah, I should have done that a little differently. But, you know, I'll just keep moving forward.
And that's an interesting topic we can talk about just for a moment is reviews. And what does it feel like when you get a glowing review and then occasionally you get that negative review? How do you deal with that?
Well, believe me, I thought I was prepared for that, you know, after I first published the book. But, oh, my God, of course I was on top of the world when I'd read a glowing review. And then I read another one, I'd be like, my stomach, my heart would just fall into my stomach, and I'd be like, oh my God, I shouldn't have written anything so terrible. But what I did was, in those early, you know, early days when I first published it, I would go back and I read other things by debut authors who said, just, you know, don't let it get to you, because it is your first novel and you can only get better if you keep writing. So I would go back and read reviews of big books that were really popular. And as I would scroll through, I'd see, well, yeah, they have a lot of good reviews, but there's quite a number of people who thought it sucked. You know? And that's, and I developed a shell, or I have developed a shell. And it's like, okay, you know, writing really is subjective. You know, not everybody's going to like your story. People might buy it with enthusiasm, thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And then they was like, what? Mm-hmm. Because the same thing's happened to me. Right. You know, I've had friends loan me books. Oh, this is the best story. This is great. And I get halfway through, and it's like, I just can't get into it. So I understand. From a reader's perspective, I understand. Right. And, you know, I'm prepared for any type of review that's out there. And what I tried to do was read them and think, okay, is there any truth in here? Is this maybe something I can think about for my next book and maybe do something different? You know, maybe this phrase or these things just didn't come across the right way to somebody. And you're not going to please everyone.
No.
So I've developed a tougher shell. Granted, you know, negative reviews always hurt a little bit. But sometimes the ones that strike me even worse are the ones in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to love it or hate it, but the, like, the middle ones, you're like, eh.
Yeah, what's with the ambivalence here, people?
Right, it's like, yeah, I liked it, but, and I didn't like, and okay, maybe there's, you know, I try to see if there's something that I could take away from it in a positive way.
And I love, I love that you're saying that, because you have to kind of sift through. I mean, some people are just mean and might just write a mean review and there's nothing to be gleaned from it because it's just mean. But to be able to look at it and get past some of them to figure out, okay, what can I learn from this? And actually, what could I make better? That's really hard to do, but so important in such personal growth when you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think I've become stronger because of it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, I've heard of authors that don't even read their reviews.
No, I get that too.
And I understand that, but I've kind of look at this overall star rating, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right now on Amazon, Little Bits of Karma is holding it 4 stars, okay? On Goodreads is tough. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Goodreads?
I am, absolutely, yes.
They're a tougher
crowd.
It's
a tough crowd.
The Amazon reviewers. It's holding it 3.68 on Amazon, I mean on Goodreads. So, I mean, obviously, it's over 3.5, so the majority of people think it's pretty good.
Yep. There you go.
It's not like it's 2 stars. You know, and so it's like, okay, so at least, you know, it's somewhere, it's maybe above average, you know, a little bit better than good overall, you know, when you take all of the ratings into consideration. So.
Well, it's just like a restaurant review. I mean, you have different taste buds and different palates.
So I've kind of made it the habit now. Now, I don't really look at the reviews for Little Bits of Karma. I don't really read them so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at the overall star rating and see if it dropped.
There you go.
A little bit.
Why put yourself through it? You need to move on.
Exactly.
Exactly. I got it.
So, yeah, there we go. Here I am.
There you are. Well, speaking of moving on, we know that you've got the Karma series coming up. Anything after that in your horizon?
I don't. I just have to write what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can just make outlines and go by them and write to them. I'm not that way. I mean, I'll make an outline. I'll write down, not really a formal outline, but a general idea of where I want things, the way I want it to go. But then I always end up going off in another direction. So outlines are just that, just a frame for me.
Right.
I have a friend who says, oh, well, you know, and you can have this idea for the next book and this idea for the next book. And I'm like, yeah, that's okay, but I have to feel it before it's going to make me want to write it.
No, I get that. I get that. Wow. Well, we've talked about a lot today. We've covered quite a bit, and I want to make sure that we're not missing anything that you would like to mention.
I'll just say I appreciate anyone who takes the time to read my book. If they like it, wonderful. If not, I'm sorry, maybe you'll like the next one.
That's right. Keep coming back, folks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working on it. I'm getting better because I do enjoy it.
I can tell. So, mentioning coming back, where can folks go then to learn more about you and most importantly, where can they purchase your books?
Well, my both books are available on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble, both in paperback editions, the Kindle and the Nook edition. It's also the paperback version is also available directly from Outskirts Press for both of them. And I guess that would be good if somebody wanted to purchase multiple copies on their own. They could probably get a discount. I don't know if it would be better than Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but I'll throw in, you know, Outskirts Press. It's available there, too. So, yeah, that's where they can buy it. And I do have a website. My website is it's getting better. As I write more books, it will, of course, be more informative, but it's hard to figure out what to put on a website. For me, it is. I think it's okay right now, but I'm trying to improve it.
No, I found great information there. It's called littlebitsofkarma.com.
Right, yeah. And I figured, okay, you know, I've debated whether I want to keep that website or close it down and start another one with something other than the title of my first book. But it's like, well, if I'm going to be writing karma-type stories, we'll just leave Little Bits of Karma as the website and just keep adding stories to it because I love writing paranormal psychic phenomena stories, so there'll be more on there.
All right. I would stick with littlebitsofkarma.com. So for those listening, if you enjoy reading romance stories with paranormal elements of, as we mentioned, astral travel, dreams, psychic abilities, and reincarnation, then you will enjoy reading one of Laura's books. And you also have video trailers at your website that provide a one-minute overview of each story with more information on the books, Little Bits of Karma and Tough Karma as well. So Laura, this has been just a pleasure to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you. I've enjoyed it as well.